I'm Doug Pierce. I'm the pastor of Congregational Care here at Trinity, and if I haven't had an opportunity to meet you, I'd love to do that. We're going to continue this morning in the book of James, but I shared something upstairs I'd like to share with you. How many of you dream? Anybody? Few of you. How many of you dream in color? See, I'm a black and white guy. I don't know why, but I don't know what that means. I had a dream last night, and it was a very scary dream, especially for a pastor. And when I got up to preach, there was only five of you out there. Well, the scary part was not the five. The scary part was that my wife wasn't one of them. Well, we're going to continue in James. We've been preaching for the last couple of weeks, along with Jeremy. And this morning, I'm going to talk about how to train your tongue. Do you realize that in life, you can either lick your tongue or let your tongue lick you? The more you say, the chance there is that you're going to say something wrong. Something that's going to hurt somebody or come back on you. So let me ask you this morning, how many of you have ever gotten into trouble because of something you said? Anybody? Well, there's a few honest people out there. But the truth is, I bet every one of us at one time or another has said something that we'd like to take back. There was a stock boy at the grocery store, and a woman came in wanting to buy half a head of lettuce. He said, half a head of lettuce. Let me check with my manager. So he walked back to where his manager was, not realizing that she was right behind him. And when he got to his manager, he said, you know, you're not going to believe this, but there's an old bag out there who wants to buy half a head of lettuce. And just then he noticed she was behind him. And he said, when this fine lady wants to buy the other half. See, James talks about the tongue more than anyone else in the New Testament. In fact, in every chapter in the book of James, there's something said about the tongue. In James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, he says this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, but you should know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in many ways in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." And if you have your Bibles with you, I would really suggest that you circle or highlight or somehow take the word perfect so that it stands out. Because in the Greek, it literally means to be mature, to be healthy. So if you want to be a mature, healthy Christian, you have to learn to control your tongue. When you go to the doctor, what's the very first thing he says? Stick out your tongue. And he either puts a thermometer in it or a tongue suppressor. Why? Because your tongue reveals what's going on inside you. Not just physically, but also spiritually. So why do we need to train our tongues in what we say? Well, I've chosen out of this passage, three reasons. You might be able to find more, but I found three. And the first is, my tongue reflects my life. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me, if you would. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Let me ask you this morning, where's your life headed? Where's your marriage headed? Where's your career headed? If you want to know where you're going to be in another month or another year or even 5 years down the road, you need to look at what's coming out of your mouth, what you're saying. James says the tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth or like the rudder of a ship. So whatever you discuss, that's the direction that you're headed. Your tongue is the steering wheel, your steering wheel of life. So do you like where your life is headed? Do you like where your marriage is at right now? Do you like where your career is headed? If not, you can change the course of your life by controlling your tongue. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3. It says this, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Your mouth can ruin your career in a minute. It can ruin your marriage, your relationships with your family, your friends. It can even ruin your finances, folks. In 1 Peter 5:10 or 3:10, it says, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So how many of you would like to have a good marriage, a happy marriage? How many of you would like to have a good and happy career? How many of you would like to have a good life? Then we need to control our tongues, don't we? Because the tongue directs where we go in life. Well, secondly, I'd like to point out that my tongue can destroy my life. Again, in James chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, James writes this. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great is a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, for it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. This verse or these verses show the destructive nature of our tongue. They can express or repress, they can release or restrain, they can offend or befriend. The tongue can build or belittle. It can express interest or indifference. Words are like nitroglycerin, folks. They can heal the heart or they can blow up bridges. And James says that our tongue is like fire. And many of you are young and you might not remember the Smokey Bear commercials. But Smokey used to say, only you can prevent forest fires. Beloved, that's true with our mouths as well. It's our choice. It's your choice. It's like a careless match thrown down or a cigarette or unwatched campfire that just gets ablaze. Words from our mouths can destroy. Not only destroy, they can hurt people in such ways that can't be repaired. Someone who doesn't manage their mouth is a verbal arsonist. They use inflammatory words to destroy because it can destroy your marriage, your career, your job, and even your finances. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21 say, from the fruit of man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and fire are in his power, or in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Fire and words have a lot in common, because fire under control is good. It can give warmth, it can give light, it can give comfort in a cold night. But fire out of control is devastating. Well, secondly, James says that our tongue is like wild animals. There was a man who went to a pet shop to buy a parrot. Now, why a parrot? I have no idea. Who would want a parrot? A dog? Maybe a cat, I'm not sure. But a parrot. So he bought this parrot, and every other word when he got it home was a swear word. So this guy was devastated. He tried everything to get this parrot under control. He tried talking to it nicely. He tried soothing music. He tried everything under the sun that he could think of, and still the parrot was just swearing away. He would take the bird and he shook that bird, and the more he shook it, the more obnoxious that bird was. Finally, out of sheer frustration, he put it in the freezer. Now, keep in mind, what do you put in the freezer? You put your cold things like chicken and beef and mashed potato, or not mashed potato, but peas and carrots. So after he put the bird in the freezer, after a few minutes, the bird was swearing up a storm, squawking, kicking, and screaming, and then suddenly nothing, nothing. Well, the man panicked. He opened the freezer door, and out walks this bird onto his arm. And he said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I offended you with my mouth. I ask forgiveness. I promise I will control what I say. Well, the man was astounded by this change of attitude in this bird. Then all of a sudden, the parrot said, by the way, what happened to the chicken? Isn't it amazing how we can tame Flipper or Tigger or Shamu or Lassie or Rin Tin Tin or dogs and cats even? But we have a hard time taming our mouth sometimes, don't we? James says that our tongues are filled with poison. It's venom more deadly than a snake, because it can destroy both sociably and economically, as well as spiritually. There were two snakes crawling along, and one snake asked the other, are we poisonous snakes? Oh, of course we are. We're rattlesnakes. Oh, darn. Why? What happened? I just bit my tongue. A lot of trouble in our world is caused by combining a narrow mind with a wide mouth. So what's the antidote? Well, it's found in Proverbs 21:23, where it says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So I need to train my tongue. We need to train our tongues, because it directs our lives. It also can destroy your life. And then third, my tongue displays my life. Look what verse 9 and through 12 says of James chapter 3. With it we bless our Lord and Father. With it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. The tongue is a strange contradiction. It's so inconsistent. It's amazing how quickly a tongue can change, a person can change, almost like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One minute we're pleasing God, and the next minute we're cursing people who were made in His image. Your tongue and what you say reveals what's inside you. So what do your words reveal about you? What does your tongue say about you? If you were able to play back every conversation you had this past week, what would it reveal about you? There's a story of a pastor, of course a Baptist, who wouldn't be an E-free pastor, a priest and a rabbi. And they all ministered in the same town, and one day they took off and they went fishing. Well, while they were out in the middle of the lake on the boat, they began to confess their innermost thoughts about to one another, and the priest confessed that he had an issue with celibacy, that he had sinned against God. Well, the rabbi confessed that he loved bacon in the morning. Well, the pastor remained silent for quite a while. And finally, he was pressured into what his weakness was. He said, well, very reluctantly, he said, well, since you insist, I love gossip, and I can't wait to get home. In verses 11 and 12, James uses two illustrations to describe our tongues. In verse 11, he compares it to a fountain. In verse 12, he compares it to a fig tree. Nature reproduces after its own kind. A fig tree doesn't produce cherries. Whatever comes out of a well is either fresh or tainted water. But a freshwater well doesn't, you don't get salt water in. What are you producing in life? What are you producing in life? Whatever is in your heart comes out of your mouth. Your tongue, if a tongue is inconsistent, there is something radically wrong with our hearts. I think Jesus said it best in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Now, here Jesus is explaining a Freudian slip even before Freud was born. He shows that our tongue betrays what is really going on in our hearts. So the problem isn't much as much as what we say with our mouth as it is with our heart. So what's the solution? I think first we need to ask God for a new heart. Ezekiel 18:31 put it this way: cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? The answer to being able to train your tongue is having a new heart. If you want to get control of your tongues, you need to give Jesus and have your heart and have Him take control of it. The first thing you need to do is accept Him as your personal Savior. Accept Him as your personal Savior. And then you'll change from the inside out. Oh, it's a gradual change. It doesn't happen overnight. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit living within us. We need that new Spirit. And then secondly, we need to ask God to help us every day. In essence, before we speak, we need to ask God if it's pleasing to Him. Sometimes that's hard to do. If you're like me, I quite often speak without thinking. Boy, does that get me in trouble. I know none of you do the same thing. But it's a danger, isn't it? We need to ask God to help us to control our tongues. We need that supernatural power that only comes from the Holy Spirit to train our hearts, to train our tongues. Psalm 141:3 says this, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Did you hear that? "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Every one of us ought to go home and write that verse down on a 3x5 card. Put it on the refrigerator or on the mirror when you get up in the mornings and brush your teeth so you look at that. And the first thing you can say as a prayer is, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth and keep watch over my lips." James spoke about the tongue as a bit and as a rudder in verses 3 and 4. Both of those things require someone to be in charge. Someone has to pull the bit, the rein on the horse, to control that horse. Someone has to control the steering wheel or the rudder so the rudder moves right and left so the ship will go in the right direction. Ask God to be the captain of your ship, to control you in everything you say and do. And then the third solution for being able to train your tongue before you say something is to ask God if what you're going to say would be pleasing to Him. Psalm 19:14 says this, "Let the words of my mouth," a verse you've all heard, "let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Instead of just blurting out something that you're going to regret, think about it and ask God to control your thoughts, your heart, your mind, so that whatever comes out of this mouth is pleasing to Him. So let me ask you this morning, what direction is your tongue leading you? Is it leading you down the pathway of conflict or bitterness? Who are you destroying with your words? Your children? Grandchildren? Family? Your job? Your finances? Ask God for a new heart. Ask Him to control what you say each and every day. Would you pray with me? So, Father, thank You for these simple words from the book of James. Thank You for the wisdom that You gave him in writing these words through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that we can take these words and hide them in our hearts. And the next time we become angry, or the next time we decide that there's something that we need to do that isn't quite right, help us to realize, Lord, that You're in control of our lives, every aspect of our lives, that You're in control of the things that we say. So, Father, help us. Help us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to be taking communion in just a few minutes. And the way we take communion here at Trinity is open communion. That means you don't have to be a member, but you have to be born again. And that's between you and God. When the ushers come and pass out the elements, there are two cups, one with the bread, one with the juice. Make sure you get both of them. And after the elements are all passed out, then I will lead us in partaking of the elements. One of the neat things about communion is that we do this in remembrance, the Bible says. In remembrance of what? Well, we remember him on the cross of Calvary, where he shed his blood so that you and I could be saved. Not only saved, but have fellowship with him. What a great blessing that is. But also remembrance that he rose and he's coming back. What a blessed day that'll be. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe 100 years from now. I have no idea. But when he comes back, are you ready? Make sure that when you take communion, your heart is right. So I want to give us just an opportunity right now to do that, to ask God to go to prayer, to ask God if there is something that we haven't confessed before him, because he wants us to be clean when we partake of the elements. If there's something that we haven't asked for forgiveness for, would you do it right now? Would you pray?